the late Leonard Ravenhill, who was an English revivalist preacher, once said this: "The church has many organizers, but few agonizers. Many who pay, but few who pray. Many resters, but few wrestlers. Many who are enterprising, but few who are interceding. People who are not praying and praying. The secret of praying is praying in secret. A worldly Christian will stop praying, and a praying Christian will stop worldliness. Tithes may build a church, but tears will give it life." That is the difference between the modern church and the early church. In the matter of effective praying, never has so many left so much to so few. And then he concludes with these words: "Brethren, let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we ask you, teach us to pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, open our ears, the eyes of our heart, and let us hear what you have to say to us today. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen." Well, this morning, we reached the end of our study in the wonderful little book of James. And we have seen that this is a very, very practical book. In fact, it is the Proverbs of the New Testament. And we studied in this book what the Holy Spirit has to reveal about a lot of practical issues. We've seen how we are to respond in trials, what we're to do so that trials will make us better and not bitter. We have looked at temptation and the root of temptation, where it comes from, and what we're to remember so that when temptation comes, that we can overcome temptation and do the right thing. We have looked at and studied what James says about the Word of God, how he encourages us that when we come to the Word of God, we're not just to be hearers of the Word. You know, going out to church, "Good sermon, Pastor!" And then get out in the parking lot and don't even know what was said. We are not to just be hearers of the Word, but we are to be effectual doers, James says, of the Word of God. He shared with us the importance in this book, the importance of dynamic faith. And dynamic faith, you remember, is the only kind of faith that can save a soul. Dead faith won't save you. Demonic faith can't save. Only dynamic faith can save a soul, says James, and says the Word of God. We've seen what he had to say about how to tame the most ferocious, wildest animal in the whole world that lives in a den behind the bars of our teeth, the human tongue. And how much more practical can you get than that? We have seen what he speaks about getting along with difficult people. We've looked at what he had to say about money and about dealing with money issues. Last week we saw how he gave instructions to people that were suffering and what you're supposed to do when you're sick. And you know, how much more practical can you get in all of these issues that we've taken a look at in the book of James? How practical he is. But have you noticed, or did you notice, as we went through this book, James, how he emphasizes prayer. He begins in the first chapter. He says, man, you're going to go through some trials. And what we need, he says, we need wisdom when we go through trials. If chapter 1, verse 5, right? If any man lacks wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Ask. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray. He starts off with an admonition or an exhortation to pray. Pray when you're going through trials. In the middle of the book, he talks about prayer. He said, you have not because you ask not. They were neglecting prayer, even in the early church. They were neglecting prayer. And when you do pray, you don't get answers because you ask amiss, says the King James, or you ask with the wrong motives, to spend it on your own pleasures. He says, you don't have because you don't ask. And even when you ask, you don't get it because you know what? You're praying selfish prayers, self-centered prayers. And he talks about prayer. And you remember what he said last week. Last week we took a look at some verses and he said, if any of you in the church, and there are people in the church right now, any of you are suffering, what is he to do? Pray. Any of you suffering? Let him pray, he says. Let him pray. And if you're sick, he says, call for the elders. What are the elders to do? Pray. Let him pray over the one having anointed him with oil. He says, pray. The emphasis here is on prayer. It's almost like the whole thing, it's practical. It's life. It's how to live life down here in this nasty world. How to live the Christian life in an unchristian world, in a world that's turned upside down and going crazy. How to live the Christian life. But he says, pray. You know, life, it's like life is fragile. Handle with prayer. Amen. That's what James, if you look at this, it's saturated with prayer. And in our text this morning, as we finish this book in verses 16b through 20, he closes his letter talking about effective, or the King James words, effectual prayers. Look at chapter 5, verse 16. At the end of the verse, he says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. Ivan, there's your answer for tomorrow for the pouring of the foundation. He prayed that it wouldn't rain. Oh boy. And it did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. We don't know that. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Effective prayer. He talks about effective prayer or effectual prayer. What is effective prayer? Well, simply, effective prayer is prayers that get effects. Amen. Prayer that makes a difference. Yes. One commentator defined effective prayer that is most likely to be answered by God. Prayer that sees results. Prayer that gets results. Now, I don't know about you. I do know about you. If we're going to pray, I'd like to pray some prayers that get results. Amen? Amen? I mean, if we're going to spend time praying, I want to have prayer that is effectual prayer. Yeah. A prayer that makes a difference. So let's look and see what he says about effective prayer. Number one on your outline, the prerequisites for effective prayer. And James gives four of them here 4 prerequisites of effectual prayer. The first is, for prayers to be effective, they must come through a righteous life. A righteous life. He says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. But right off the bat, that poses a problem, doesn't it? Because who's righteous? I think the scripture says there's none righteous. No, not even you. No, not one. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. I hear one amen. My, oh my. We've all sinned. There's none righteous. There's no, not one. So, how can sinful people come into the presence of the holy God and talk to him in prayer and get answers? We've got to come dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And what that means is that only a Christian, only a true Christian can pray effective prayers or effectual prayers. When one believes in Jesus, when one believes that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and takes Christ as their own personal Savior, receives Christ, God takes our sins and puts them on Jesus, and takes Jesus' righteousness and puts it to our account. And he declares us righteous. We're justified in Christ. Praise God. Amen. Amen. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Amen. That's how we can come to God. We can only come through the righteousness of Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Only through his blood do we have access to the Father. Only we can come before him dressed in the righteousness of Christ. But I think that there's more to it than even that. It's just not my position in Christ that makes my prayers effective. I think there's a practical aspect too. I think that my position has to be made practical. In other words, we have to be living righteous lives. We have to be walking with the Lord in righteousness. We have to be walking in the Holy Spirit and living holy, sanctified lives. Now hear me now. Listen. We will never be perfect. We will never even really get close to being perfect. I mean, that's the goal, right? To be like Christ. But we still fall far short. But what we need to do is we need to keep short accounts with God. We need to confess our sins daily. We need to come before God and ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be serious about living out our Christianity. Amen. Serious about living out, making our position and our practice line up. Because we are righteous in Christ. Yes. We are righteous. Now we need to live that in our day-to-day life. Again, realizing we're not going to be perfect. But when we sin, we need to confess it and get right again with God. We need to get right again with God. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit, confessing our sins, living in righteousness of Christ. And then, and only then, can we pray effective prayers. Therefore, prayer should be a challenge to us to Christ-like living. Christ-like living. To pray effective prayers, they must come through a righteous life. And praise God, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. He, Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord, our righteousness. So that's prerequisite number one. We've got to be living and dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Prerequisite number two, for prayers to be effective, they must be directed by God. Directed by God. The King James says fervent, effectual. That's only one word in the original. And the word, it's the word we get our English word energy from, or energized. And this is put in such a way that it means that effective prayer is energized not by us, but by someone else. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, in the same way, God helps us with our weakness. The Spirit helps us with our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Yes. You see, for prayers to be effective, they've got to be energized by the Spirit of God. You can't pray effective prayers outside the will of God. Can't. In fact, any prayer that you pray or I pray outside God's will is null and void. Amen. But the Spirit intercedes for us according to the will of God. Well, how do I know how to pray something in the will of God? Where do you find the will of God? You find the will of God in the Word of God. And we find it in the will, the Word of God, and it's revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Thus, Spirit-led, God-energized, Scripture-based praying is powerful, effective praying. When we pray according to Scripture, that is effective prayers. When we pray according to God's will, you see, it's not my will. It's, prayer is not getting my will done in heaven. It's getting heaven's will done on earth. Amen. That's effective praying. If we pray according to God's will, 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence which we have in him. If we pray anything according to his will, he what? Hears us. God hears. And we know that if he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have that which we've requested of him. Amen. That's kind of confidence, isn't it? We know. We've got to pray prayers that are directed by God, by the Holy Spirit, motivated by the Holy Spirit, based on the Word of God and the will of God, Spirit-led, God energized, Scripture praying is powerful, effective praying. So first of all, it's got to come, those prayers have to come through a righteous life. Second of all, they've got to be directed by God. Third of all, they must be specific in nature. Specific requests. This is interesting. In verses 13 through 18, you'll find the words prayer or pray eight times. Eight times. And what's interesting about that, in the original, that is, eight times. What's interesting about that is seven of those times, the word that's used for prayer is the general word that's used throughout the New Testament for our prayers directed to God. This is the general term for praying to God. One time, it's not that word. It's not that word in our verse in verse 16 where it says the fervent effectual prayer or the effective prayer. That's not the general term for prayer. This is a term that means a specific request. I mean specific request and or specific petition. It could be, the verse could be translated, a specific petition of a righteous one energized by God avails much. Now, why is that important? Because I think, well, if you're like me, and I think many times our prayers tend to be too general. Lord, bless the missionaries. Lord, bless the church. Lord, bless my family. And it's they're just so general. This is, I think, telling us, do we want to see God move in a powerful way? Yes. Get specific. Amen. In your prayers. How do you want the Lord to bless the church? How do you want Him to work in your children's lives? How do you want Him to bless the missionaries? That's why I'm glad for that missionary calendar that the missions team put out, because it gives you specific requests for our missionaries that we can pray specifically for them. It's like the story of the woman that went out of church. And she came up, and supposedly, I read about this, she came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And the pastor asked her a question. He said, thank you so much. He said, what are you praying for me? That's a good question, huh? Hopefully it's not imprecatory prayers that, you know, or make his sermons a lot shorter, you know. What are you praying for me? The pastor said. We had a lady that used to go to this church, and some of you remember her. Her name was Julianne McCoy. They called her the Jesus Lady. This lady was a big-time prayer warrior. And Julianne, she would call me every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, every week, I'd get a phone call, and she'd say this, Pastor, I'm in my prayer closet. I'm praying for your sermon, but what specifically can I pray for you? I'll tell you what. She's with the Lord now. She's with Jesus now. And I'll tell you, when she went to be with Jesus, I missed those phone calls. But she would call and say, what can I specifically pray for you? And I'll tell you what, that was a woman. If you knew Julianna, she had powerful prayer. She saw specific answers to prayer. She knew how to pray effectively. So, if we're going to pray, effective prayers need to come through a righteous life. They need to be energized by God, directed by God according to His will. I think we need to get a little bit, maybe more specific with God. Yeah. What do you want? How do you want Him to bless the church? How do you want Him to bless your family? How do you want Him to work in your marriage? We need to be specific. And then fourthly, to be effective prayers, they must be prayers born out of faith. Out of faith. You remember back in chapter 1 what he said? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally without reproach, it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing doubting, no wavering. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. That man shouldn't expect to receive anything from God because he's unstable in all his ways. He says, ask for faith, ask for wisdom, but ask in faith. Yeah. Remember what he said last week to those who are sick? Go to the elders, let them pray over you, anointing you with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Yeah. A lot about faith in the book of James. And I'll tell you, for prayers to be effective prayers, we have to pray. They have to be born out of faith. About 2 years ago, I was reading through the New Testament, and God spoke to me, and really some verses out of Mark chapter 11 and verses 22 through 24 just really impacted my life. Said this, Jesus said, have faith in God. If you have faith and say to this mountain, be rooted up and thrown into the sea, and you do not doubt, it'll happen. Whoa. Then he goes on, so when you pray, believe that you have what you have requested, and it'll be done. Wow. Wow. He said in Matthew 21, 22, he said, all things that you ask in prayer, believing, you'll receive. Yeah. Have faith in God. See, the faith when we pray is not in our prayers. I don't have faith in my prayers. My faith is not in the person I'm praying for. We have faith in God. Amen. Who is a prayer hearing, prayer answering God. Amen. And for prayers to be effective, they've got to be born out of faith in God, the God of the Bible. So here are the prerequisites. If we're going to pray prayers that get results, they've got to come from a righteous life. They've got to be energized by God according to His will. They have to be specific. I think we've got to get a little bit more specific in our prayers. And they have to be born in faith. Now, the power of those kind of prayers, the power of effective prayer. Number two on your outline, this kind of prayer has great power. In fact, James says it can accomplish much, much. It availeth much. Linda and I have been reading through a book and actually praying in a book. It's called Praying the Promises of God. Praying the Promises of God. We've been reading that in the morning. And in that book, the author writes and says, prayer is the means by which the power of heaven is moved into the circumstances of life. Do you hear that? But I've been saying that on Wednesday night. I say a number of times, prayer is God's ordained means to get the deep needs of man in touch with the infinite resources of God. Amen. Prayer. J. Sidlow Baxter concurs stating, prayer creates an opportunity for the working of divine grace and power in men, which otherwise there would not be. Prayer is the divine coupling link between human need and divine omnipotence. It avails much. Much. You know, in the Greek, here's your Greek lesson for today. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I do know this. You know, in English, we do subject, predicate, object, right? I mean, and we always do it kind of that way. Greek mixes it all up. But when they want to emphasize something, you put it at the beginning of the sentence or at the end of the sentence. And this verse literally reads, it reads, much is strong a petition of a righteous man being made effective. Much. How powerful is Effective prayer. Much. Effective prayer avails much. Listen, effective prayer can accomplish much. Got that? Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. Effective prayer can accomplish much. 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 It can accomplish much for the kingdom of God. It can accomplish much for the good of mankind. Much for our families. Much for our marriages. Much for our children. Much for Christ's church. Much for our own personal lives. Much. That's the power of effective prayer. Much. But why? But why? And I think it's revealed in the word can accomplish, or in the King James, availeth. Because the root of that word, listen to this, the root of that word is to have or to hold. And every time we come to God in believing prayer, dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, listen, we lay hold of God. We lay hold of God. And to lay hold of God is to lay hold of omnipotence. Yes. There's nothing too difficult for our God. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. The power of effective prayer is the omnipotent power of God. It accomplishes. It avails much, much. Now, let's look at a picture now. The picture of effective prayer. James gives us a picture. The picture he gives us is the picture of a prophet. The picture of Elijah. Elijah was a man who prayed effective prayers. What do we know about him? Well, first of all, we know he was a man with a nature like ours. You know, when we read the Bible, we tend to put these guys way up here. We tend to look at these, the heroes of the faith as superheroes, as superstars. These are people that are up here, they're super saints. They're nothing like us, right? Wrong. James says he, Elijah, was a man of like passions. Like passions. Elijah was a man who got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. He was a man who failed at times, like we do. He was a man that feared death. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because he's one of only two in the Bible that never had to die. But he was afraid to die. When Jezebel came and said, "Man, I'm going to wipe you out," what did he do? He ran out into the wilderness and he was depressed. He got depressed. And what did he say? "God, kill me." Oh, how like us. You know what? I am thankful that God doesn't answer all our prayers. Because if he did, a lot of us, including your pastor, wouldn't be here. "Just take me out of here, Lord. I'm done. You know, take me home, God." That's Elijah. It reminded me of the story of the man. You remember the story? I don't know if you ever heard the story of the man who was carrying around a big load of sticks. And man, it got so heavy. He said, "Oh, I just can't do this anymore." And he sat down, took the sticks off, and he said, "I just wish death would come and take me away." And lo and behold, he turned around, and who was there but death? And death said, did someone call for my help?" And the man said, "Yes, I did. Would you help me get these sticks back on my shoulders?" I mean, aren't we like that? I mean, I don't know. I'm like that. You know? God, just kill me. That's Elijah. He was a man with like passions. Now listen. He was a righteous man. He was. He didn't bow the knee. He didn't go after false gods. He was a Jehovah man. He was a righteous man. He was a godly man. But he was not a perfect man. And despite all of his imperfections, all of his weaknesses, he was able to pray effective prayers, and God heard him and he answered him. It's another thing we know about him. A second thing we know about him, he prayed earnestly. See it there in 17b? He prayed earnestly. Literally, it reads, he prayed with prayer. That's the way they emphasize things in the Bible, in Hebrews. They double something. He prayed with prayer. That means he prayed. He was a man of prayer. A man of prayer. And when he prayed, he wasn't messing around. He wasn't just, you know, send up a little prayer here and there, and, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. Pastor's sermon's long and deep. If he should finish before I wake, someone kick me for heaven's sake. Now, he didn't pray. He didn't just mess around with prayers, you know. He prayed. He was a man of prayer. He prayed prayer. Earnestly. He wasn't hit. I'll tell you what. If he were here living today, listen to me. He wouldn't be hit and miss at prayer meeting. He'd be there. He would. Because he's a man of prayer. Prayer was his modus operandi. He was faithful in prayer. He prayed earnestly. His prayers were directed by God, energized by God, and they were effective. I mean, they hit home. They got results. Because number three, he prayed specifically. Do you see it there in 17c? He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured forth rain, and the earth produced its fruit. If you want to read more about that, go to 1 Kings chapter 17 and following, and you can read all about that. How he prayed. You see, at the time he lived, many of God's people had turned away from God. Many of God's people had started to, actually, can you believe this? Worship false gods, worship Baal. And God had to do something. He had to do something to get the hearts of his people back to him. You know, sometimes God acted drastically. But you know what God does when he's going to act? He always sets his people to pray. And God energized Elijah to pray that it would not rain. See, this is not something Elijah thought up. What should I do here? I just think I'm going to pray it won't rain. No. This was a God thing. Amen. This was God's will. And he energized, he directed him through his spirit to pray, it's not going to rain. Amen. And I'm telling you, it didn't rain. On the whole earth. Amen. Not just in Palestine. Not just in that region. On the whole earth. For 3.5 years. You talk about effective prayers, huh? Well, boy, we need him here in Northeast Ohio. He prayed and it did not rain. And then he was moved. And then God said, okay, the people turned back. You remember on Mount Carmel, the people started to turn back to God? And God said, okay, now I want you to pray for it to rain. And so he prayed again. And rain came, and it wasn't mercy drops. round us are falling. It was a deluge. Amen. It was a old-fashioned gully washer. I mean, it rained. It came down. He got results. He got results. His prayers were effective. They affected the weather of the whole earth. But listen, even more than that, they affected a whole nation. You see, what is more of a miracle? For us to pray and God to do something in the weather? Or for someone to pray and people that are out there not following the Lord come back to the Lord? I'm going to tell you what, it's much more of a miracle for people to turn and come back to the Lord. Because you're dealing with people that have a free moral choice. We have choices. That is much more intricate and much more a mystery how God works in that. God can change the weather anytime He wants to. He made the laws of nature, and if He wants to suspend them or change them, He can do that anytime. It's nothing. But to get people that have gone off and bring them back, oh, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. That's a picture of effective prayer. Brought a whole nation back to God. And that leads us to 19 and 20. And I entitled this, The Prodigal and Effective Prayer. Listen to these verses. Listen to what he says. My brethren, if any among you, who's he talking to? Christians. He's talking to Christians. Any among you, my brethren, strays from the truth. What they stray from? Strays from the word of God. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word is truth. Strays from Jesus. He's truth. Amen. He's the way, the truth, the life. Strays from the gospel. Galatians 2:5 says it's the gospel of truth. Strays from the church. We're the pillar and support of the truth. Strays from their Christian upbringing. Do you bring your kids up in the truth? If any of them strays from the truth, this is speaking to prodigals. It's speaking of backsliders, the one who turns him back. Now, the King James Version here, I think, is a little unclear. And let me tell you why. It uses the word converts. And some have looked at that and said, well, this is talking about people that are not Christians being converted. No, we're talking about Christians. And the word there that's translated in King James converts, it just means to turn back. To turn back. And he's talking about turning back. Speaking of turning back to the truth, helping a person get back with God. He turns him from walking in his own way and gets him back in walking with God in God's way. You see, that's what Elijah's prayers did. That's what Elijah did. It really, for God, it wasn't about the weather, it wasn't about the drought. It was about getting the people of God back in the truth. Getting back to God, to Jehovah. That's what his prayers did. So how do we, listen, do you have a prodigal in your family? Do you know of a prodigal? How do we get them back to the truth? Well, I'll tell you what, you share the word of God with them. Because Psalm 19 says, the word of God restoreth the soul. Means it gets it back to where it should be. It restores the soul. I'll tell you another thing you do with a prodigal. Love him. Or love her. Love covers a multitude of sins. I've had people come to me, parents even come to me and say, you know, my son or daughter who grew up in the church and not following the Lord, should I just kind of cut off fellowship with them? No. Love them. Love them. Don't condone their sin. You got to speak the truth. You got to tell them the truth in love. Right? Love covers. Do you see what it says in here? It covers a multitude of sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. So share the word, love them. But the context, what's the context? How do we turn prodigals back to the Lord? How do we do it? The context is effectual prayer. Amen. It's praying for them. Now I'm gonna just ask, are you one of those prodigals? Are you here today and you're one of those prodigals? I'll tell you why you're here today. Because God wants you to come home. Amen. God wants you to come home. And somebody, listen, somebody's been praying for you. Are you here today and you have a prodigal in your family? Or you know of a prodigal in our church? You know what God's calling you and me to do? We're to pray. We're to pray and pray and pray and pray. Right now, Linda and I have a list. Now, they're not all prodigals. Some are not saved. But we have a list of over 160 people. Many of them that grew up in this church that are not walking with God. And we're praying over that list, and we're asking God, take this prayer list and turn it into a praise list. And I'm praying. How are we going to turn them back? We need to pray. That's why I would encourage you, be in church. Come to church on Wednesday night. We pray for people. We pray for prodigals. We pray for those that are out there. How are we going to turn them back? Through effective prayer. Through effective prayer. There's a story, and I'm going to close with this, about a young lady who grew up in a Christian home, but she ignored the claims of Christ. She even got to the point where she laughed at her mother's prayers. She turned her back on her mother's God. She went out into the world to do her thing. You know anybody like that? Just out in the world, she's out there. And it seemed that she was headed for a Christless eternity. But God. I like those two words. But God interrupted her with his grace. And she accepted Christ. And her life was changed. And listen, she penned these words. I grieved my Lord from day to day. I scorned his love full and free. And though I wandered far away, my mother's prayers have followed me. I'm coming home. I'm coming home to live my wasted life anew. My mother's prayers have followed me, the whole world through. That's the power of effective prayer. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, thank you so much for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, certainly I need to pray more. And we need to pray more, Lord. And God, I pray that you would teach us to pray. Lord, we're desperate. We're desperate today. We have a nation that needs turned back to God, just like Elijah did. We have the people of God today, many of which need to be turned back to God. Lord, teach us to pray. And Lord, as we pray, help us to pray effective prayers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.